This morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 80, and we're going to look at verse 3. Now, I do want to encourage you to read through this entire psalm. Now, we're going to extract just one verse, but in every single verse, it kind of builds on what we're going to talk about this morning. And the title of our message, as you'll see on the screen below you, is Restore Us. And as we think about that, you'll actually find that that's repeated three times in the entire book of chapter 80 of Psalms. And so what we find is the nation of Israel is in a state of despair. You might think of it in a crisis. And in the midst of that, what's happening is they're being taught that they need to be restored. And so as they have been conquered, in this particular chapter, they've been conquered by the Assyrian Empire. This is a foreign army that has taken over their towns, and all of the normalcy is gone. Kind of sounds familiar. They're in a state of uncertainty. And so they finally have gotten to that point, and we find recorded in this psalm where they're learning to cry out to God, and they're begging God to restore them. Now, I want us to think about this. They're asking God to restore them both physically and spiritually. Now, as we think about our world today and what we're going through, and as we've called it all kinds of things, it's the pause, it's a crisis, it's a moment of uncertainty. Whatever term you use for it, it is a time that maybe God is teaching us the same lesson here, that we need to look toward Him to restore us. And as we look at this morning, I want you to keep that in mind, that we should be seeking God at this point to restore us not only physically, okay? That would be physically as a church, physically as a nation, even physically as a world, and bringing us back in to sort of the place that He wants us to be. But also we're crying out for God to restore us spiritually. Now that one's a lot more difficult, and that's one we'll spend some time thinking about and talking about this morning as we do this together. But I want to read this passage for you, and then we'll come back and I'll look at really the idea of what does God teach us about restoration in this verse. So read with me in verse 3, and he says this, "O God, restore us and cause your face to shine upon us." And then he says in the final part, "We will be saved." Now, I want to sort of just dissect that out this morning and look at each of the three elements here and just sort of what we might call an old-fashioned exegetical sermon. I mean, we're going to take the three points directly from this verse. And as we do, I want us to think again about what we learn about restoration and how that applies to where we find ourselves in our lives today. And certainly we're celebrating Mother's Day, and we have much to be thankful for as far as moms. But as we think about this, this really is something that not only is a call to moms and dads as they're relating with their kids and learning to be a family that's in some sense confined maybe to your homes, though we are allowed now to get out a little bit more. But really every believer is in a teachable state right now. And we should all be sort of going through the idea of evaluating and thinking through what God may be getting ready to do in our lives. And so as we do, let's look at this and think about the first thing that we learn about restoration. And that is number one, and it comes really in the very first part of verse 3 where he says, "Restore us." Now that really, when you think about that, I mean, we've said that's the title of our message this morning. But to restore us, it's really an acknowledgement, if you will, that we are in need of restoration. That's the first thing that I want you to think about, is that we must come to a point to where we know and realize that we need to be restored. Now, we've talked about being restored physically. Now, we know we need to do that. In fact, I talked to one of our members this afternoon about when we are going to meet again. When are we going to be able to have church again? And I don't know the answers to all of those questions. But we do know that we are going to be restored physically. I don't believe that is in doubt. This is not permanent in what we're going through. So that day's coming. But when we begin to think about the spiritual restoration, that's something that when we know sort of who God is and what He's capable of doing. And I do want to draw your attention to something, and it really is something that we find, again, threaded throughout this psalm. But it's in verse 4, which we see the reference, "the Lord God of hosts." Now, that is verse 4. We're looking at verse 3, but that is a reminder of something that's very important as we think about God's power to restore us. He is the Lord of all. And when you hear that term, host, what we're really thinking there is that God is referencing himself as the Lord of all, not just some. Now, we know that it's used in Scripture at times, the term heavenly host. And we do believe that that's a reference, it seems, to angels, the beings that God has created that are in heaven. And we see those referenced throughout the Bible. And so when we think about God the Lord of hosts, or Lord God of hosts, then what we're being reminded of is God is in charge of the army of angels. And you think about what the angels' jobs are. They're certain to glorify Him and to bless Him. But they also are used to do His work. And we see that in Scripture. One that comes to mind, obviously, is Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she is told by the angel that she's going to give birth to the Savior. I mean, we talk about Mother's Day. That's a great example of a mother-to-be realizing the calling that God has placed on her life. But it's a reference there to the idea of God's power. And so as we think about God restoring us spiritually, I know there may be some who think, well, I'm so far away from where I need to be. You don't know what I've done in my past. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know the sins and the habits, perhaps, that I struggle with. But listen, I don't. But God knows. And certainly, if He is the Lord God of hosts and commands an army of angels, has created the world as we see it, He's created you and me, He is capable and powerful enough to restore us spiritually. There's not anything that we could ever do or be a part of or be in a place so far away from God that we're not able to be restored by His power. And so certainly in our pause, and I think the nation is, as we sort of visit this passage this morning, we're realizing that they too are in sort of an uncertain time. Now, I don't want to be discouraging here, but we do find pauses throughout Scripture. This pause, as it might be referred to through the language we're using in our own pause in this world, this one lasted about 20 years. But they ultimately would be restored, and those who accepted God's presence and the things that He wanted to do and learned the lessons that He was teaching them would be restored physically as well. There are other pauses in Scripture. Another one comes toward the end of the Old Testament where we see the time of captivity or the Babylonian exile. That one went for 70 years. Now, the reason I don't want to be discouraged, I don't believe that our own pause is going to go that long. I sure pray and hope it doesn't. Maybe just another week, maybe a couple of weeks at most, we're thinking. But again, we're in a time where God is promising some things to us. And just in the own example here of the pause or the crisis that they're going through, this is something else that I think is important here. God continued to speak. Now the question is, were the children of Israel listening? And that would be a similar question we need to ask ourselves. I mean, as we think about spiritual restoration and being restored back to what God wants us to be, we need to make sure that we're listening to what God is trying to teach us. Now, before we move on to the next point, let me say this. A good question would be, what are we being restored to? Man, that's a great question, actually. And as we think about this, what we find is that we're being called back into a relationship with Him. Now, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then technically you can't be restored back to something that you've never had. But it is being, in a sense, restored to the image that God has for you. And so I want you to think about that God, as we said a couple of weeks ago, has a blueprint for your life. He has a plan for every one of our lives. And even though you may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you still will accept Christ as Lord and Savior and be restored into the image that God has for you. And then, of course, as a believer, many of us might have walked away from the Lord. We're not as close. We don't have as deep of a relationship with Him that we once had. And so the restoration for us is to be restored back into that deep, right, correct, growing relationship with our Heavenly Father. So that's what we're being restored to. And so when we think about that, it is important to kind of think of it in terms of what we're going through right now. So the first one is this. We need to make sure that we acknowledge that we need to be restored. Number two is this, and this comes again in that middle part of verse 3 where he tells us, and really they're calling on God, and it says, cause your face to shine upon us. Now when you look at the Old Testament and really the theological examples of God looking toward or shining his face on something, that really references the idea of blessing. And the idea of being in a place where you're able to acknowledge God's face shining on you. In other words, you might think of it, his glory shining on you. You don't do that if you're not in the center of his will, if you're not in proximity of where you need to be. And sometimes in our lives, we sort of get off the highway and we take detours and we go to places that God does not want us to go spiritually and emotionally sometimes and in relationships, whatever it may be. But we know that though we're never out of the presence of God, maybe we're not experiencing God's face shining on us. And when we think of Israel and what they're going through right now, part of what led them into this time of pause or rebellion, what was just that? It was they walked away from what God wanted them to be. And so because they ignored him and because they weren't where they needed to be spiritually, God began to use this to get their attention so that they could experience what it was like to be in a world where they weren't sensing and feeling God's face shining on them so that they would long for that. Now in our own world today, I mean, we've been in our homes for weeks it seems. And as we now are just beginning to get back out and this week stores started opening again and we begin to move around and see people and visit with one another, we're not able to be back in church yet. But let me be clear about something. God's face does not shine on us only when we're in this sanctuary. His face shines on us in our daily lives. And I think the nation of Israel, it wasn't so much that they weren't experiencing God's face shining on them. It was more, again, like we said in the first point, they weren't seeing it. They weren't acknowledging it. They weren't doing the things to be able to feel it and experience it, if you will. And so because of that, they were missing that whole aspect of their relationship with God. And in our own world today, many are like that. Many of the of believers and people who go to churches in this disruption and pause that we're in are wondering where God is. Well, God is still with us. He's still speaking. In fact, I think he might be speaking, as we said last week, with a louder voice than he ever has. And he's drawing people toward him. And now we're beginning, hopefully, to get to the point to where the nation is in our passage, that we're beginning to know that we need to be restored. And part of that restoration is certainly acknowledging the need for that, as we've said. But it also now is beginning to plea and beg and ask for God to shine his face on us, to heal our land, to not only restore us physically, but to bring us back spiritually. And something I've said for the last several weeks, and I hope you picked up on it, is that I hope that we're never the same when we come back. When God restores us physically, that we're never the same. You know what that really means is that we're never the same spiritually. That God has grown us and changed us in such a way that when we are restored physically, that we're never the same spiritually again. You might think of it this way. We're restored into the image that God has already designed for us. And if God is, as we believe, the Lord of hosts, okay, with all of the power that we believe he has, then that means that he has already calculated in his plan for us this moment in history. What we're going through, the difficulties, the uncertainties. And so because he's calculated that and built that into his plan, then we know that whatever it is that he does in our lives as we're restored spiritually, we'll be restored into the image that he had for us all along. And we'll never be the same. Why is that? Because we're listening to him. Because we're paying attention. We're longing for the work that he's doing and as we're seeing in this passage, the shining of his face on our lives. Sometimes we talk about counting our blessings. I mean, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I hope all of the dads and the kids out there are thinking about the blessing that moms are in their lives. I mean, getting us up and doing all the things that they do on a regular basis that oftentimes we never acknowledge. Listen, we need to thank God that God has shined His face on us with the moms and the wives, men, that we have in our lives. Those are blessings. Those are examples of God shining His face on us. And so it is important that we acknowledge that. And the nation in this is really acknowledging or verifying, if you will, God's power to do that. But again, as I've said, it's something that we need to make sure that we're not losing sight of. It's easy in the struggle of life to forget to see God's face shining. Now, some would argue that, you know, it's unforgettable and you know that it's there. But there are times where we get distracted by things and we begin to focus on other things. Last week we talked about having an anxious spirit. As we said there, that root was really having anxiety over things that we can't control. Listen, those are perfect examples of ways that sometimes Satan will distract us from seeing God's face shine in certain things. We talk about the handiwork of God. That's another way of describing God's face shining on something, on us, on a situation in our lives. And even as we think about what we're going through right now, and sometimes the dire predictions that we're hearing about on the news, listen, God is still here and He's working. And we're seeing evidence of that every single day. That's all to say that God's face is still shining on us as a country, on us as a church, on you maybe as an individual, on your family even. And so it's as much an acknowledgement as something that we seek for. And again, that seeking part is making sure that we're in a place to where we're able to experience that and see that and claim the victory of God's face shining on us. Certainly the nation of Israel understood that and worked toward that. Then the last thing that we learn, and this is sort of that dramatic ending to this verse 3. And by the way, you see this same verse that we're reading in verse 3 repeated two other times, verse 7 and again in verse 19, exactly almost. And so this was something that was sort of webbed into the entire psalm so that it would be sort of the cornerstone of what they were pleading for. And that last part, as we're saying, is that they would be saved. Now let's put this sort of into context. They're asking God to restore them, as we've said, restore them both physically and then, of course, spiritually, that they would acknowledge and begin to see God's face shining on them, the blessing of that, the handiwork of God. And then because of all of those things, look very carefully in what it says, and, that's an important word there, and because of the previous things, because of the plea and the acknowledgement of restoration, and because we realize God's face is shining on us, then it tells us, and this is the dramatic statement, we will be saved. Now again, I think we're talking here physical salvation. The nation would come out of this occupation and become a healthy nation once again, although it will take some years for that to happen. And it certainly didn't happen in maybe the time frame that they were hoping. But they would be restored physically as a nation. But we also know that this was the beginning of God beginning to prepare the nation for the arrival of Jesus the Messiah. And so there's part of the spiritual restoration. So when we think about the salvation that God will save us, it is both of those. It's the physical salvation as well as a spiritual salvation. Now probably most of us understand that physical part. We just sort of illustrated that. And in our own life today, we know, as we've said, God is going to allow a time to come for us to be a church again. Churches in parts of our nation are already starting to do that. So they have been restored physically. We too will be restored physically. But the spiritual part is that part that really is the salvation part. Now I know if we're a believer, we've already been saved spiritually, okay? I know that. But as a non-believer, certainly that salvation means something very different. It's something where they need to ask Christ to come into their lives. And as they begin to come to that point of understanding that if they were to die today, this morning, sometime this afternoon, then they stand before God, then what would they say if they were asked that question? Why do they deserve to come into heaven? I mean, there are all kinds of answers humans can give, but the only right answer is because Jesus died on the cross for me, and I've accepted Him, and I believe that He is the Savior. He has come into my life, and He has forgiven me of all of my sins. That is the only thing that would allow us into the presence of God, what we call heaven. So that one is difficult for the non-believer to grasp, I think. But it is something that all of us are called to do. That is to accept Jesus Christ, to be, as we've said, saved, and that's saved spiritually. But I also want to go back to the believer who's already been saved spiritually. But part of what's going on in the nation in this passage is for them to get back in that right relationship. We've talked about the shining of God's face on them, the restoration, both physical and spiritual, but now begin to acknowledge and understand that God is the only one, listen to this, is the only one that can save us. And so when we look at all of the other options out there in lives, as believers, we know this. We know that salvation comes only by way of Jesus. So here's the question. Are we living that way? Do we live as if He is our only source of salvation? And that really becomes a test, it does, in times like this. Because we're often scrambling around trying to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And what's going to happen next week and what we can't control, but how are we going to control those things? Are we living as if we have salvation only in Jesus? Or sometimes as believers, are we looking for other sources of that? I know that sounds strange, but I'm convinced that there are some Christians today who really put on their salvation hat when they come to church or tune into an online service. But when they go about their lives, they're not living as if Jesus is their only source of salvation. They almost live in sort of an apathetic way. God's important when I need Him, or when I'm in a crisis, or when I'm with other believers, but He's not really the sole source of salvation. I'm not talking about just spiritual salvation. I'm talking about every aspect of your life. Is He saving you from yourself, your sins, the relationships that you have, the misunderstandings in maybe work life that you have and the anger that maybe you have and other things that are going on in our lives? Is He saving you from those? And while we understand salvation occurs when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as a believer, every day it tells us in Scripture, we're taking up our cross. That's not that we're getting re-saved every day. Don't misunderstand that. But what that is an imagery that we are realigning ourselves. We're sort of not re-saving, but we're acknowledging that salvation exists in our lives. And we're going about our day as we carry that cross symbolically, allowing God to save us in all areas of our lives. Not just the areas that we've just mentioned, church and the convenient ones, but in all areas of our lives. Saving us. We're not talking about spiritual salvation as much as we are the idea of a relationship with Him. And that salvation, as we speak of, beginning to seep in and touch all areas of our lives. I mean, certainly I've heard a lot of people talk that they've had time to reflect and think and really spend time soul searching during this pause, as we're calling it. And it is a time that God is speaking. And this is an example of what we see in this psalm, that God is speaking. He is saying something that is important. And I believe that He's saying something that is important to us right now. And as we think about all of the things that we've just mentioned, the need for restoration, the physical and spiritual, the acknowledgement of God's presence, His shining face on us, and the things going on around us, and certainly the salvation that we've already experienced as a believer through what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, all those things are important, but we need to make sure that we're paying attention to what God is saying to us so that, as we've said, as we are restored and able to go back to our normal lives, we will never be the same spiritually because of what God's taught us, the things that He's spoken, the things that He's telling us, maybe in our own lives, that we need to allow Him to have control over. And that's our prayer, and that's what our prayer needs to be. And however long this may go on, as I said, hopefully not much longer. Your church staff is working hard right now to try to figure out what that will look like when we do. We're just waiting for the go. And when that happens, then we'll work very diligently to begin to communicate to everyone how our Sunday morning services will look and how that will all happen. But listen, we must remember that God is speaking during this time. And the messages that He's given us are not always those that may be contained in our online service or something that you're reading in a Sunday school book. It may be something that He's speaking into your heart. And you recognize that because you know the voice. You recognize God's voice because He's been speaking to you all of your life since you've been saved. So as we conclude this morning, I'm going to ask Emily and Andrew to come back up and sing their final song. And it is a special song for our mothers this morning. And again, I want to celebrate our moms. I wish we were present so that we could do that together. But know that we are thankful for all of the mothers in this church and the legacy that many have left in this church who are no longer with us. Listen, we've had a great example of what godly moms should look like and the things that they should do in the life and the history of this church. Now, let me go back and address this as I mentioned it. When are we going to open? I had that question even several times this week. And let me be clear. What is closing us is the order of the government. The governor has said that churches cannot meet with more than 10 in it. And we obviously have more than 10. And so we are hearing all kinds of things that may be about to happen or may end up not happening. But as I said last week, we know ultimately that God is in charge of this. And this is a time of growth. I think it is. I believe it is. And it's a time of change for us. And so we're going to be patient, and we're going to make the decisions based on really what's best for our church and ultimately, and I want you to know this, what God is leading us to do. And so whenever that happens, whenever we get that word that we're going to be able to start meeting again, then we will begin to communicate what that will look like. We don't know all of the details yet because they've not been told to us. But as we look at other states, we know that there will be likely a limit on the number. So we're looking now at what those options may be, and we'll be working some of those details out. But let me say this. We are working to make sure that this is a safe environment for people to come back into. And so if you feel uncomfortable or uncertain about that, then we are going to move to live streaming when we do come back to meeting so that those who are unable to come or don't feel comfortable coming right away will be able to watch our services live. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing this recorded. So that will change whenever that order comes down or frees us up to begin meeting again. But we also are really working right now on trying to figure out how we would seat people and things. And as you know, our sanctuary is big enough that we feel like we can space people out adequately to make it safe. We've installed some hand sanitizing pumps in the foyer, and they'll be really at every door coming into the sanctuary. And we want to encourage people to use those. We're not going to use hymnals. We've not done that for years anyway, so that's not really a change for us. But we are looking at ways to modify our service so that we can make this a place that we think is safe, because we don't want to be guilty of putting people in danger. That is not what we want to be, and that's not consistent, I believe, in what the Bible teaches us. So I do, and I say all that with you just to sort of encourage you that we are working through some plans right now and figuring out what that will look like. You pray for that time. You pray for when it is that we are allowed to come back, and pray for our church. Pray that God blesses us and guides us continually through that process, and that we are able to come back and be able to get back to some sense of normalcy. It won't be the same, but some sense of normalcy as quickly as it's possible. But again, we are going to do some measures there to keep us safe. And one that I didn't mention, and I know some who have had concern about this, is we will forgo the welcome time that we've been doing where we do the fellowship and walk around. We won't be doing that for a while, likely. So again, those are some examples of some things that we're doing to try to modify. Now, before Andrew and Emily come back up, let me lead us in prayer. Let me pray for you this week and just ask God's blessing on you as you search through this psalm, as we've mentioned this morning, Psalm 80, and kind of in your own special spiritual quest this week, your time of quiet time, I want to encourage you to maybe even go verse by verse and pray through what God teaches us in the psalm. We've just really scratched the surface this morning in what we've covered, so I want to encourage you to dig deeper this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for everyone who is able to see and watch this service, who's able to listen to it. Lord, and over even these last few weeks that we've been online only, we have seen Your face shining on this church and really ultimately on this nation. I believe that. And whatever time is left of this pause, Lord, we just ask that You would continue to provide for us. Continue to help us to see those things that you are doing, your handiwork, as we say. And then, Father, as we have started tonight talking about when we might be able to come back and what that might look like, Lord, we pray that when that happens, that you would give us a sense of excitement to come back and be able to be together again in worship and to be able to study God's Word together, Lord. And whatever that may look like, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us as leaders as we figure those details out. And we certainly pray for all of the churches in this community, churches all through this nation, as they are going through the same kind of thing themselves. But God, we are thankful for what you have done during this time. And we ask that you would continue to help us, as we said tonight, to pay attention, to listen, Lord, to the things that you may be trying to teach us. So God, you guide us this week. I pray, Father, keep us safe and guide us as we seek you and search for you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.